The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
One of us is wrong here. The other is Peter Boyles on Newstalk 710 KNUS.
Good morning, everyone. It's a Tuesday, November the 10th of 2020. 710 KNUS. I'm Peter Boyles. Good to have you here. On a Tuesday, woke up this morning and roads were iffy and things have straightened out. Sun's up 46 degrees. Robert Hutchinson, we met him in a remarkable book called Death of Hitler, and he's been a wonderful guest. And I find out, looking at a bio, he has a degree in New Testament studies. Are you kidding me? So we get into this. First of all, Robert, thanks for doing the radio show. Welcome back to Denver, and good morning. And it's good for you to be here on a number of levels, but good morning, sir.
Thanks. Thanks very much for having me on, Peter. It's a great morning.
Is it true that in your bio you have one of your many degrees is you have a degree in New Testament studies?
Yes. It took me 8 years, but yes.
No, that's cool. Talk about where and when and what drew you to it.
That's a big, whole interesting story. I'm actually Catholic, but I spent 8 years in an evangelical Protestant seminary studying New Testament. Because in my wild youth, I spent 2 years in Israel studying Hebrew as a kid, and became absolutely fascinated with the Bible and the history and all that. I'm probably the only Irish Catholic you'll ever meet who speaks Hebrew. So I just decided to pursue it and was fascinated by it. And that's when two of my books are about early Christianity and what scholars have discovered about Jesus of Nazareth and how what they've been telling us for a century now about Jesus of Nazareth and the liberal media and so on, nobody believes anymore, even among atheist, secular scholars in top universities. It's outdated what the media says, and the latest research is much more in line with what the New Testament actually says.
I have been, since a kid, I was an altar boy, I have been fascinated by world religions and religious studies and what's real and what's not real. And I contend that Marxism is a religion.
That's what people call it, an atheistic religion.
It has its promise. It has holy books. It has prophets. It has martyrs. It has divinity, too. And if we all become part of Uncle Carl, there will be peace in the valley. Men will change. Things will be better. And all will be well. That's really Karl Marx's promise.
Yes, I think that's true. I think today I wrote a column how intersectionality is a religion
because
it's based on blind faith without evidence, as atheists like to say, and it's become the religion of a sizable number of Americans, and it's based mostly on blind belief.
If I were to ask you, and it's a lousy question, how do you describe yourself in terms of your own religious beliefs today?
I would consider myself a faithful Catholic, actually. I kind of have a conservative tinge in that my conclusions are very conservative, but I am a liberal in the sense that I accept all of the critical studies of the Bible, archaeology, all of that kind of thing. And what most people don't realize is far from disproving a lot of Christianity, the most recent, most rigorous, most skeptical research actually tends to support the basic outlines of what happened in the New Testament. So I kind of have a foot in both camps. I have a foot in the kind of liberal biblical scholarship camp, but the conclusions that I reach from that tend to be pretty conservative, or tend to support the basic claims of Christianity.
I've been in Jerusalem. I've been in the Middle East off and on. I've been to Rome. You know, I've touched the bases. Now, I made a statement at the end, which is really strange with you coming on the show, and I went, wait a minute, doesn't that guy have a religious degree study? And so I'm not hesitant, but about Moses, and I brought up Moses because we were talking about belief and epistemology and one of the themes when you read history. is that what travels with you is epistemology. If you're not firmly rooted in epistemology, you can't really rock and roll too much in history because you're looking for, you know, what's known versus what's believed. And comes historical figure Moses. And I have long believed from reading that Moses probably, and I said probably, was not a true figure of and having done all the things that people claimed him to have done. Now, I'm hanging out here because I don't know what you're going to say. So, your thoughts about Moses?
Well, I actually disagree with you on that. I actually think Moses probably was an historical figure, but we have no way of historically proving that. Okay. In other words, we have what's in the Bible, which are ancient texts that it's very hard to corroborate with other sources, and that's true of many figures in the Bible.
Absolutely.
In other words,
absolutely.
That doesn't mean that they didn't exist.
But
it just means that these are ancient sources from a semi-nomadic primitive people that we have difficulty proving. And I don't think Christianity rises or falls necessarily on being able to prove scientifically with archaeology and so on that Moses existed. We do know that Thutmoses was an Egyptian name. And so we do know that that's true. Mm-hmm. So there are tidbits that tend to support a lot of that. But, for example, archaeology, there's a big brouhaha over the Exodus because archaeologists have combed through the Sinai Desert and they have not found
any
physical proof of a gigantic migration in the
and
Sinai.
Actually, you would pronounce his name Mosa or Mosa, not Moses, but Mosa.
And I
was in Egypt, big deal, and the Egyptians get very upset about, you know, who built the pyramids and who built all this stuff. The Hebrew slaves and the Egyptians did it. They anger that up. And then, it's a debate on who the Pharaoh of Exodus was. But because there's a doubt on whether the Exodus happened. But Ramses II, and he's the villain in this story. And they kept wonderful records. I mean, the Egyptians, I remember one time you're on the radio show, we're talking about the records the Germans kept. But there is, I mean, this idea of rivers of blood and plagues of frogs and sea parts, the Egyptians would have huge records that would say that happened, and they have nothing. And I don't believe there was a Moses, or he was a conglomeration of a number of people, some of them themselves Egyptian. Remember, they weren't even Egyptians. They were, you know, and even today when you talk to Egyptians and ask them if they're Arabs, they will tell you they are not, that they are Egyptians.
Well, they are a mixture over 6,000 years.
Exactly.
They are a mixed multitude, as the Bible says, of the group that came out of Egypt. I am not a fundamentalist, so my faith does not depend on being able to prove scientifically every event that's described in the Old Testament.
Even
in the New Testament, for that matter, at least all events. But some people feel that the Bible stands or falls on every single incident being true or being able to be proved scientifically. And I just don't think that's necessarily the same thing. I respect people that say the Bible is inerrant in all factual claims, but that's different from saying that we can prove every incident, and there are many things I don't think we can prove scientifically, and I'm okay with that.
believe me, Robert Hutchinson, I just love his work, is with us, and I was using about belief and knowledge, and, you know, I read Islam, I read the Quran, I read the Hadiths, I've done these things, this is a goof, but the belief that the archangel shows up and starts to talk to this young man, who actually does a night flight on a horse, and actually when you die, I make the case that the most devout people on that terrible day of 9/11 were the hijackers. Because, you know, when they got to Muhammad Atta's luggage that never got on in Boston, they found, I'll use the term, the wedding dress. He was going to the virgins. He believed that.
Mm.
And a belief is powerful, but it doesn't make it true.
That's true.
And so, you know, what you have done, this great work that you've done on the Nazis, and I've tried to make this case, when those people were murdering, it wasn't they thought they were doing anything wrong. They thought they were doing the right thing. Did they not?
Many of them did. Some of them did have a guilty conscience.
It depended on who got caught.
You were talking about.
Yeah. But the point of it is people like Goebbels and people like Goering. And, well, Goering's a weird character, but the death heads, they thought they were doing, they didn't think they were doing something wrong. They thought they were doing it right.
Yes, I think in many cases that's true.
Yeah. So when belief is a more powerful force than knowledge any day of the week.
Yes. And false belief can be extremely dangerous.
And more dangerous than I was saying, like, there was no Robin Hood. When I was a little kid, I thought King Arthur was a real guy. I thought Robin Hood was a real guy. They weren't real guys.
Well, I would be a little more precise than that. We don't have any evidence that they were real guys. Uh-huh. We don't know for sure. Many things we just simply don't know.
Well, but we do. I mean, we can, even Arthur, you know, who I loved the legends and I read all that stuff when I was a kid, but there's no Arthur.
There's no evidence that there's an Arthur.
No,
that's the same.
I know, but it is. It is the same. Is.
I'm more of a skeptic. I'm more skeptical than the skeptics.
Well, you have to be. And then, you know, and like I said, do you believe that Muhammad actually spoke with the archangel?
No, I don't.
Why do you reject that and accept the other?
Just because I don't believe it doesn't mean it's not true. Well, it just means I don't think there's sufficient evidence for that.
That's a gut check on belief.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm very skeptical, which is kind of an odd thing to be when you're a devout Christian.
Listen, I love it. I think it's great. But Moses is a pivotal character, as is Abraham. And there's a tomb in Hebron that one side, Christians and Jews can look in, and the other side, the Muslims look in, and he's their guy. And he's our guy, or he's this guy, or he's that guy. And, one of the things I read a piece one time on, and I'm drawn to Moses, that into the Egyptians, Moses was a terrorist. How's that?
Yeah, sure, of course.
Yeah, think about it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. If all of this is true, he's a terrorist. The Egyptians, by the way, when you sit and talk with them, they'll vent on that, on Moses.
Well, if it's true, he led an enslaved people. It was a slave rebellion.
But,
it was Spartacus. It was an uprising.
But Spartacus was a real guy. We have evidence for Spartacus.
Right.
I'm caught in it. Anyhow, but is there any archaeological or scientific evidence other than a belief of the existence of a historical Moses?
Outside of the Bible, I know very little. There's evidence of the name in ancient documents and so on, and so people know that this actually was a name, and so people do think that. Mm. A lot of historians think there must have been some lawgiver like Moses.
There you are.
And why not call him Moses?
Sure.
You know, I mean, it doesn't really... basically the same thing. There must have been a powerful personality like Lycurgus, somebody like that, who delivered these laws to the Israelite people, and we call him Moses. That's what the Bible calls him, and it doesn't really bother me if we can't prove it.
As part of the legend is Ben-Gurion, the lion, said to his archaeologist, go find me the deed to the land, meaning Moses, and they couldn't do it. And that was in the late 40s, and he said, find me, and this is Ben-Gurion.
Right.
Find me the deed of trust, and they came back, and they said, it's not there. And then it's like, you know, this idea, you know, God gave this land to me, really. And that's when you hear the Arab world go, not so fast. But it's all locked in this. I'm fascinated by it. I'm just drawn to it. And on the other side is what happens with Abraham and his sons and the wives and the slaves. And then what the Islamists believe. And they truly believe this.
Yeah. Well, no. Again, I respect both sides. People that say that they believe the Bible is inerrant, and therefore it must have happened. And I respect the skeptics who say we have no evidence that it happened, and therefore I only accept as true what I can prove scientifically. So those are the two sides, and I think those two sides can coexist, and they do coexist in the scholarly world. And you just have to listen to both sides. Sort of like the election, you've got to let the process play out.
That's a great segue. Our guest is Robert Hutchinson. His book on, by the way, I think we talked, I went after you and all this different thing. I reread Tolan, and that 100 days and tying it into your book, such insanity. It's insane.
Sorry?
I said, I went back and reread John Tolan's 100 days.
Yes.
And then your book I read, you know, and how insane that 100 days must have been. We had a fellow on yesterday who's done a new book about Anzio. And a brilliant historian also. And you think, where was that moment that these guys said, this can't be won? And they never had it, did they?
I think toward the very end they did. But
yeah. but that's belief.
Yes, that was belief.
It's insane. It's insanity. It's insanity.
Well, people get caught up in the emotion of a movement, and these things do matter to people's lives. And the brilliance of democracy is trying to figure out, or of a republic, is trying to figure out how to allow people's passions, in which issues matter quite a bit, to be adjudicated in a fair way. And that's what we're working through right now.
Okay, how does this? I read your piece on supporting Trump. You and I are both Trump guys. How does this end?
How does this end?
Yeah.
I don't know. Again, I'm a radical skeptic. I think we have to let the judicial process play out. I think there's absolutely evidence of vote tampering and irregularities. Just people say there's no evidence that voter fraud ever happens. That's ridiculous. Yeah, a judge in Philadelphia was just sentenced, an election judge in May, was just sentenced to 15 years in prison for stuffing ballot boxes for Democrats in three separate elections in 2014, 15, and 16. So it absolutely does happen. The question is whether it was sufficient that it would make an impact on the election results. I mean, people don't realize that in 1976, Gerald Ford's campaign sued the election board in the city of New York for voter fraud, and it went all the way to a district court case, and the judge said that it was absolutely within their right to reorder a presidential election if they thought that it was justified, but they said to do so, they had to prove there was specific acts of misconduct and that the officials involved willfully and knowingly, it wasn't just an accident, committed voter fraud, and that the outcome could change the results of the election. So that's the key point. It's not that voter fraud never happens, but was there voter fraud? Did the officials involved know about it? And if there was voter fraud, can it change the outcome of this election? And that's an empirical question. We won't know the results of for at least another couple of weeks.
I say in the audience that the mainstream media called him President-elect Gore for 30 days.
Yes, that's true. Exactly.
So
the media does not decide our elections think they do.
My point. Remember, he was President-elect Gore.
Yes.
And in Pennsylvania, I grew up there. And there's a Secretary of State, her name is Kathy, and it's B-O-O-C-K-V-A-R, Brockvar, and she's a well-known Trump hater. And, you know, what did she do? Or the Philadelphia poll watchers, or, you know, but I like what you said. It has to be settled in court.
Yeah, I mean, we allowed that to happen in Gore. Gore got us 37 days.
Yeah.
This is how we adjudicate as a society, claims like this. I mean, what Trump people, and myself included, don't like to hear is the 2016 election was also very close.
No.
I mean, Trump won Pennsylvania by 68,000 votes, yep. which is quite a bit. But Michigan, he only won by 11,000 votes. And Wisconsin, he only won by 27,000 votes. And I think in the 2000 election with Florida, I think it came down to 500 mm-hmm. votes. So we are a 50-50 country. Yep. Half the country believes passionately in one set of values. The other half of the country believes passionately in another set of values. We fiercely disagree. These are very, very close elections. And I think the American people have a right to know if their elections are honest and yep. fair. And the way we know that is by letting lawyers battle it out in court with evidence. Mm-hmm. And I think the Democrats should absolutely support this process, because otherwise half the country is going to think it was a stolen election and Biden is not the legitimate president.
As a reader, all you got to do is read Jack Kennedy 1960 in Cook County and in Illinois, and we know they stole it. We know they stole it.
Yes.
I mean, that's...
But Trump is not Richard Nixon. He's mm-hmm. not going to follow the sword.
That's right.
Like that. He's a fighter. If you punch Trump, he's going to punch back twice as hard.
I agree. And so I
think that's a good thing. I think we should not allow voter fraud to go unremarked if it happens. We should root this out. We should put these people in prison. But at the end of the day, if Biden actually won and that the voter fraud that occurred was not sufficient to change the result of the election, then we will accept that, and we will spend the next 4 years making the Democrats' life a living hell as they spent the last 4 years making Trump's life a living hell.
You're not going to get along. You're not going to heal, because I know I'm not. So.
Well, that's our job. Our job is not to roll over.
Never.
And allow, you know, that's just, we do it in a legal and constitutional way, which is why we are loyal Americans, and we fight for what we believe in, and that's why it's a great day to be alive. We have Biden wins, we have a lot of work to do, and it's going to be a lot of fun.
I love when he hugged the kid on the stage. Robert Hutchinson, historian, we met him with Death of Hitler, but he's been an important part of the show. I'll talk to you again. I think, Billy, we're scheduled again in a week, 10 days. We may call you sooner when this thing comes to a head.
Sure, absolutely. Anytime, Peter. Yeah, I love being on your show. You're a great guy.
You're a good man. Thank you so much.
Okay,
for your time.
Talk to you later.
All right, we got full lines. That was talk about a fluke. Billy's reading his bio. Billy said he's a New Testament scholar. Bang. 46 the high today. Groundbreaking advanced FUE treatment for advanced hair restoration. Finally here in Denver. And address, again, you're receding a hairline, you got a bald spot, you got thinning hair, and you're a young man or a young woman, or you're everybody's young to me. We've met Dr. Tanya Pauls and Farah and the crew and the woman that runs the desk. And first of all, I think it's something special because it's run by women. The experienced team, and it's so confidential, so private, no one needs to know. It's art of technology, the best of the best. It's 100% guaranteed. Advanced hair, you always receive the very highest standard of care, well beyond CDC guidelines. And celebrating Advanced Hair's grand opening in Denver. Special financing, $250 off, $250 off, and then 250 free hair grafts. If I'm you and you think it's an issue, and of course, you know, it's you, it's inside. Confidential and private, 720-459-HAIR. One-day treatment, life-changing results. New hair is 100% guaranteed. Just make the call. If you got a question, 720-459-HAIR, 720-459-HAIR. Visit advancedhair.com. Make the call. You'll be so glad you did. 720-459-HAIR.
We now return to the Peter Boyles Show.
Good morning, everybody. Stefan this afternoon at 3. Donald Trump stays in the game. And I still think this Pfizer story is amazing, watching what the multinational does not do, announce that they have the vaccine before or after the election. 46 the high, 48 on Wednesday. And Dr. Julie McCallum, I saw her yesterday. Today's usually my day, but I thought the roads would be goofy. So I saw her yesterday, went to the office and talked to her. She's changed my life. And if you're ready to focus on making the most of your life, Dr. McCallum, the doctors at Cenogenics help. Getting older ain't for chickens, man. It's like, you know, you're old and I'm old. Getting older certainly can be a challenge, but you got to take care of your body. You can move through older years feeling top of your game. She's my pal. We sit and we talk, and she's been such a guide for myself, my daughter. They create programs for you that can help you focus, become stronger, and feel in control of your life. Call today. Begin your journey back to health with the team at Cenogenics. Physician MD, Dr. Julie McCallan, changed my life. What you do is you call 720-387-3681, 720-387-3681, and you talk to Jackie, and then Jackie arranges for the free 20 minutes with you and doctor, and you make up your mind. Dr. McCallan is the all-timer, 720-387-3681. The website's denver.cenogenics.com. The 20 minutes with the doc is worth your time. Take the deal. Billy, do we have all the names up here? I think we got to change some of the names. Lisa's on one. Lisa, on your radio show. Good morning.
Good morning, Peter. Love you, and you have the nicest call screener.
Thank you.
I just have a funny story. A couple weekends ago, my friend left the garage door open, lives in Baker neighborhood. Our bikes got stolen that were hanging over his really nice car. Anyway, within a half an hour, he found them at a homeless camp and
sure.
retrieved them.
Of course.
Right over off of Santa Fe and Alameda in the Home Depot parking lot.
What happened when he came and took the bikes back?
Well, it was during the day, early in the morning, so I think they were startled. The man who stole the bike wasn't there. There was bikes
right,
all around.
Right,
so he went up.
He wasn't there. Yeah. Winky, winky.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the girl, his girlfriend was there, but he unzipped the tent, and there our bikes were.
Yeah.
And one guy who was belligerent tried to say something, but my friend took his gun with him and was like, I'm taking these. They're our bikes. So he called the police, and the police came. But anyway, since then, that particular area has been broken down. But there's an app or a website or something on Facebook for people that have lost bikes. And he actually got a bike back for another lady because we've been going around and taking pictures of all the bikes, you know, at these homeless camps. And yeah, so just wanted to maybe empower some other people to get their bike back.
Just as an aside, would that not have been a great Cory Gardner ad against Hickenlooper?
It would have been awesome.
Yeah, I'm like, this guy creates this in the city of Denver, the state of Colorado. Now, we're not going to do that ad. We're going to do the ad where I'm sitting drinking a beer, which, as they say, that's John's a brewer.
Super frustrating. I used to work for him, actually.
Let's have a beer and watch TV with John's picture on it.
He is a big dork.
A dork.
He really is. I worked for him for 2 years.
God. Yeah. When did the last time I heard somebody get called a dork? He is a dork. No. Cory Gardner's a dork.
Yeah, I haven't met him, but
he's a dork. I've never met him either. There you go. We just got sick and tired of saying, "Hey, come do the radio show." So he's a dork. They're all dorks.
Well, thank you so much
for talking to me.
I've always
call.
Been too shy, usually. Thank you.
You're kind. Great selection of eyewear. You see our friends, Alan Stackstack Optical. Alan's been for 51 years, 50 years, 51 years. His dad started it, and Alan comes and inherits the business. If you have a difficult prescription for eyewear that can help you, all of my glasses are from Stack. We rode motorcycles this weekend, skiing. I don't know. Winter Park's going to crack it open. Prescription ski gogs, sunglasses, name and claim it. Stack Optical has it. They have an on-site lab that's perfect for any repairs, new lenses, quick turnaround time. So stop by. And here's what they do now because of the pan. They're open by appointment only. How smart's this? So you give the man a call. Alan's my friend. You call 303-321-1578. 303-321-1578. They're easy to find. 2233 South Monaco Parkway, South Monaco and Evans. You make the call. When would you like to be here? What's open? Okay. How about Friday at noon or Friday at 10 or Thursday? And whatever fits. And then you go, okay. And you go and the door's locked. They unlock the door, bring you and the significant others in, sit down, go to work, whether it's new lenses, new glasses, fix something, new prescriptions, whatever it is you need, and tell them I sent you. And he's my friend, $69 eye exam, 303-321-1578, stackoptical.com, 2233 South Monaco Parkway, by appointment only. We go here, I think, my names are still screwed up on the board. It's Tammy. Tammy, you're on the radio show. Thank you and good morning.
Morning, Peter.
Hey, Tam.
I was wondering what your two cents is on the mail-in voting system that we have here in Colorado.
They didn't have to screw. They didn't have to screw with it. They won. They didn't have to screw with this.
Well, maybe not, but it's pretty hard to not notice how much, you know, radical to the left we just keep moving every election cycle.
But again, I know this on here. I'll just put this needle down on this broken record. It's the fault of Ken Buck, Ryan Call, Steve House, Walker Stapleton.
Well, and speaking of Ken Buck, I mean, he just said last week, it's really hard to win in this state. Well, why?
Well, that's right, because they've been losing. The Democrats are doing well winning.
So you're pretty confident that there's no fraud going on we're seeing in,
They don't need to. I mean, you don't have to steal where you have to. I mean, it's like, if you look at the.
I think you're right. No. But honestly, you know, it's like if it's going on in some places, how do you figure out if it's going on in others?
Well, you don't have to fix a fight that you're going to win. This is a true story. There's this book called My Life in the Mafia. This is like one of my favorite moments. And a guy's name was Vincent Teresa. And Vincent Teresa he flipped. He had been in the New England family and he flipped. And he wrote about fixing horse races and fixing dog races. And I never figured this out because what do I know? But you fix a horse to lose. You don't fix a horse to win. And, you know, because listen to me. Listen, this is so cool. Because, you know, they take the winners and they whiz test them for looking for. And so they would take, it was in New England with trotting horses. And they'd fix them to lose. And so they take like some horse that was like, you know, the 14-1 or 22-1, whatever the hell it was. And that horse, they didn't have to touch it. But they took all the first four horses that were supposed to be the winners. And they'd slow them down. You know, they'd dope them. They'd do something to them.
Right.
And so they would lose, but this horse that was the long shot would win. And they actually called them a jockey's race. They'd do it once a day or twice a day. So they wouldn't get caught. But they all go to the window. And the fixing was fixing to lose, not to win. And the winning horse, they never touched it. But it was a long shot that came in. And they knew it was coming in, so they'd load up on the horse. And he talked about that, and they talked about fixing dog racing. They don't fix them to win; they fix them to lose.
Well, then why is this all going on in these very deeply democratic cities?
Because they're fixing Donald Trump to lose because he was going to win. I mean, I have belief of this. I don't have knowledge of it since we've been over that many times this morning. But if you look at this. All right, none of it makes sense, but it has to be proven in court. You got to go into court, and you got to say, I mean, all the stuff that I grew up in Pennsylvania. I'm back in touch with a whole bunch of people I grew up with. And this guy's Tom Wolf. He's the governor of Pennsylvania. The guys I grew up with call him Tommy the Commie. How cool is that? But if you look at all these stories, the Wisconsin stories, the Milwaukee stories, and the Pennsylvania stories, the Philly stories, the math stories about, you know, more votes were counted than people voted and all of these different things. I need to see the proof of it. There's the Texas charges about the felony criminal counts submitting voter registration applications for mentally disabled residents in government-run facilities. I mean, all this, I'm reading all this stuff. And
all right, now last question. Put the candidates aside and let's talk about some of the issues.
Right.
That got passed here that, you know, just like blew our heads off. You think there could be any kind of fix going on there for whatever reason?
I don't think they have to. This state has been allowed to slip into darkness. I mean, you got these guys with their hands in their pockets. And, you know, it goes back to when you ran Bob Beaupre, you know, you talk about a dog in the manger, you know, and then you ran Walker Stapleton. And you kept running the Coors brother, running some other stooges, and they get beat. And people just get simply sick and tired of the same old tune, fiddle and guitar. And they start looking for elsewhere. And these guys come in with tons of money. And the thing that bothers me the most of it is that Ken Buck, well, we couldn't win. We just couldn't win. So we're all going to love John now. Hey, bite me. You know, take a walk.
Yeah,
you know,
I'm with you there.
If you're not willing to fight for this and find somebody that's willing to throw some punches, just tell me that right now. If they said that, you know, we never thought Corey could win, which was the most disgusting thing that any of them ever said, Why take the fight?
Well, agreed, because I fully believe that Corey didn't really want to go back. I just don't think he wanted to.
Well, since he talks to me all the time. Corey's online, too. I'm doing commercials for the guy. I'm going, hey, look at this.
Well, it's everywhere. I mean, look at Mitt Romney.
Another one.
Like, whatever.
Yeah, but they're bushies. I said this yesterday. When the congratulations phone calls came from Low Energy Jeb, they called Biden and congratulated Biden. So did W. Now they send these little statements out. Well, to Trump, but they congratulated. They actually called President Harris and congratulated her.
That's who they are.
He's George Herbert Walker Bush. This guy's name was Walker Stapleton. They're related. Did you know they're related? I'm serious. No, honest to God, they're related.
I didn't know that.
They're related. He's George Walker Bush, and Poppy's Herbert Walker.
Yeah.
And they're real guys. I mean, the Uncle Neil's a real guy. Uncle Neil was hung out with Poppy. Then the old man Prescott, that was a guy. He knew what was going on.
Speaking of Neil Cavuto, you were asking why would he do that? Yeah, it's called censorship.
Well, and I'm still.
They're just not going to let it out there if they don't agree with it.
Well, it's
interesting. Happening on Twitter, Facebook, everywhere.
There's a big rap on Fox News right now. That's why I played it when she's shooting the dice and he slams her down. And okay, why?
I know.
All right. You're a great caller. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you. 303-696-1971. And it's a very time of uncertainty. Now more than ever, converting your diamonds and gold and sterling silver and wedding bands and Rolex watches into cash. David Ellis Jewelry. Instant cash on the spot. David is my friend. And he's been the best guy for the longest time. If you got something you want to sell, and you want to know what's worth. Confidential valuations on estate sale jewelry, precious metals, coins, silver sets, antique items. No obligation. Free evaluations, private and confidential. Call David Ellis Jewelry today at 303-322-8779. David's at 3rd and Clayton in Cherry Creek. Cherry Creek North. DavidEllisJewelry.com. Park and walk in. Black awnings on the building. He's there. 6 days a week, he's there. Instant cash on the spot. David offers confidential evaluations. He buys and sells. He does it all. He's my guy. Holidays are coming. David's there. 3rd and Clayton, Cherry Creek North, DavidEllisJewelry.com.
Peter Boyle's show.
The Rascals and Groovin'. Tuesday morning, November 10th. The sun is out. We'll go to 46, do 48 tomorrow. Stephens this afternoon. Back here tomorrow. Hopefully we got a big lineup of wants to come on the show. Jenna Ellis on the show and... let's go turn things back around. Pat Neville's on the show. 303-696-1971. The first time since 5 a.m. we got open lines. You can sneak one in. You know that cord-cutting experts at Free TV. Last night, I watched a documentary on the life of James Brown. And, it's like this. I got this Free TV, and you can get all these different apps and run around and find stuff. And it was so well done. And they did a lot of time talking to Maceo Parker and his brother and Paul Stubblefield, the drummer, and Mr. Ray. Mr. Ray was all the announcer about and life and times of James Brown. And it was just a remarkable, remarkable documentary. It's the kind of stuff on Free TV. Free TV can help you get all the major local sports if you want that. Free TV, you get all the nets if you want the networks, all the alternative stuff that I've been finding. When you get cable television and you want more, you got to pay more. And this is a lot less and a lot more and no contract. How's that come out? I cut the cord from cable about a year ago. And with help from Free TV, I'm saving $1.60 a month. But the stuff you get is so much better. Learn more. Talk to the cord-cutting experts at Free TV. FREETVEE.com. FREETVEE.com or 303-794-8600. What a great family gift to give to your family for the holidays. You say, hey, we're all going to, you put it in, you can put in all the different TVs in the house. And, if you got three TVs, you can hook it up to three TVs. 303-794-8600. What an alternative to cable. It fits and you do it right. A free consultation. These are fine, really hardworking guys. You call them up, say, all right, I don't want the deal. 303-794-8600. Say bunches of money. Cut the cord. They're free TV. Billy, I need a name again. I'm sorry. All right, we go to Brian on one. Hey, Brian, you waited. Thanks. Good morning. We got about 10 minutes to go.
Great. Hey, you know, I'm 45 years old. I'm a political science major. I was, and 20 years ago, I graduated on the cusp of the Bush-Gore election. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I had all my professors tell me, you know, Bush is illegitimate. He's not a legitimate president. Mm-hmm. Now we have nobody that wants to count the votes. We have nobody that wants to get to the bottom of stuff. And even Fox News today is saying President-elect Biden. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, our only last hope. But if we lose this pillar, Peter, if we lose this pillar of democracy, this voting pillar, we're done. I mean, that was the only linchpin that was holding stuff together. Yeah. And if we lose that, if we have no credibility in that, you know, we lost the schools, we've lost the media, we're going to lose the economy, we've lost the presidency. Now we're going to lose the ability to elect our leaders or be confident in that. And I don't think we have enough time to go through, but shouldn't we take the time to get it right?
Oh, absolutely. Hey, listen, one of the things I said back when it was Hillary, if Hillary won, that was the last Republican in my lifetime. Now, if Donald Trump gets blown out of this, is the last. Because remember, Donald Trump's not a Republican. That's important to draw that line.
He's the people's president.
He is. Well, he's a Donald Trump. And so if Donald Trump gets blown out of this, that's it. Not in my lifetime. I won't see it. And again, we go back and as a reader, as a historian, you read and you go, okay, after they swept Richard Nixon, and, you know, Gerald Ford takes it on the chin, but it was Nixon, you get Jimmy Carter. Out of those ashes comes Ronald Reagan. Do you see Ronald Reagan lurking around anywhere? Because I don't. And when you see Colorado going popular vote, that game is over. And, you know, and again, I know it dropped the needle on the broken record, but the horrible Republican Party of Colorado is the heart and soul of all of this insanity for Colorado. But across the country, when the Bushes pick up the phone, and they don't call Donald to say, that's a pain and you lost. They call Joe Biden.
Oh, you're right. And I've given up on the establishment here in Colorado completely.
Well.
But another question I might, you know, I'm wondering is, you know, this software program in Michigan, we run the same software program.
Sure.
So how do we know our elections for the last, how many times have been tainted?
No, because they don't need to. You only cheat when you have to. They didn't need to go on the tank.
Well, they're blowing people out of the water, and I really don't think – I don't think Cory Gardner won. I honestly don't think he could have got blown out of the water that bad.
Oh, sure he did. He got beat. Listen, there was a time there when they had – Hickenlooper was up 14. Look, when it's said and done, and I can't say it enough, the Republican Party in Colorado needs to burn to the ground and start again.
Now, but who comes out of the ashes of that, Peter? That's the thing. We don't have anybody.
That's because they've created a farm team of ducks like themselves. Look, I know some guys. There's a certain law enforcement officer that I love that he's standing in the wings. You got to go and find these people. You got to go find a Donald Trump-esque character. You got to go find somebody. There was no reason. And they got heated with me and Randy, and I love Randy. We just got in arguments. Anytime anybody had those big rallies, did you ever see Cory Gardner show up at a rally?
Nope.
Did you ever see Ken Buck show up at a rally?
That's my point.
Well, okay.
I've given up on the Republican Party.
But in until that time, as historians say, and until that time. So right now we're having court fights on what actually happened. And I, like I said, no big deal, but I spent my afternoon downloading stories. And some of them have already been rejected from courts. And a lot of it is what's called hearsay. A lot of it is internet stuff or talk radio, hot air. But appears to be, I mean, look, notably in Pennsylvania, that there may be some, and there is voting fraud. I say that with a question mark. In Texas, there's problems. In Michigan, there's problems. But we got a long time. Remember, for 37 days, remember the media called him President-elect Al Gore. And it didn't work out. And Hillary,
but do you think, Peter, we're going to get an accurate count? Do you think we're going to take the time? I don't think we're going to get it done because the courts can reject anything.
Brian, you're not going to be able to. I mean, if the evidence is so overwhelming, and you know, there will be some brave souls that will be that'll stand up and say, you know, like whatever it does on radio shows. But you have to be. You have to, you know, what's the great line about being ready to win and ready to lose? And there's where we are. You're a very good caller, man.
Hey.
That is it. Stefan is this afternoon. Billy Thorpe, you pulled it off again. Take care, everybody. We'll see what happens tomorrow. Is it a coup d'etat? We will see. Have a great day. Be safe. Thanks, everyone. 710 KNUS, Denver's talk station.
Who cares about the clouds when we're together? Just sing a song and think about sunny weather.